World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it. See?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I want to do almost like a requiem for a heavyweight here this morning. May not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. I got a new pair of glasses. My other dollar store glasses that I use, almost 2 years, the same pair of dollar store glasses. In other words, it cost me a dollar. It lasted me almost 2 years. And finally, it cracked right up on here. So I got a new set of glasses. I just want to give public notice. Thank that other pair of dollar store glasses that last for so long. I got a different set I wear here on the show just because I'm vain enough to think that I need to. I don't want to look like I need glasses, if you know what I'm talking about. Man, great show yesterday. Great communion yesterday. Great fellowship yesterday. I heard from a lot of you who took part in the communion with us. Some of you watched it live and did it. Some of you watched it afterwards and did it. And there was really something, really, really unique there. Larry did a fabulous job on teaching that not discerning the body. He talked about the body of Christ. I do a show in the morning, and I hate to tell you this. Well, I don't hate to tell you. I ruminate all day. I don't know if anybody else out there does. I ruminate on what I bask and I sit me down like in a big bowl of oil. And I let that stuff what we discussed, I just let that stuff just seep over me all day. And it's amazing. This is January the 2nd. January 2nd. And we got about 20 shows left. On January 25th, 2018, that will be our second anniversary of 5 day a week broadcast of this show. Do the math. I think it's 52 weeks at 5 times 5 is 260. We've done almost 520 shows. And I think if we were to go back and look at them, for the most part, one's built upon another. It may not be sequential, but it's built on a previous truth that we had, a truth that we discovered somewhere along the road. One of the challenges that I personally face from my standpoint, because I pride myself on trying to lead a good discussion and try to take on some of the real stopping it. I'm going to take on that Zionism. You hear me? I'm going to take that on. I believe that's one of the greatest lies ever perpetrated upon America. I'm going to take that on here. I'm going to get my courage up. I got the courage. As soon as I get my ducks in order. But I've become more and more convinced that the battle we face daily, inside, outside, everywhere you go, is over truth. It's over truth. Jesus himself said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father through him. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will set you free. It says in Isaiah 59, get that ready, Jared. Isaiah 59, the truth has fallen in the street and it can't get up. Now, the idea of truth having fallen in the street, I don't know where you guys, Lord, just order our steps here this morning. I don't know if you understand this or not. The only way truth can fall in the streets is if the people of God aren't contending in the streets. See, it didn't say truth will fall in the church. It says truth will fall in the streets. And the moral obligation of God's people to do what my shirt says, to occupy till I come. Have you ever really sat down and ask yourself this, or have the Lord ask you this. Why am I here? Did Jesus Christ go and die on a cross simply to forgive me of my sin? Was that it? That's all? It says in the book of Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visit him? In other words, what is it about man that even just go out and drive down the road on some Friday in a major city and look at the traffic and just try to come to some realization of how many people there are in the world? And then come to a realization that you can go to parts of the world where they ain't never seen a car, never driven a car. The number of people in the world is so astronomically huge that our minds are not even able to conceive it. Yet, we believe in a personal God who touches and intervenes in the lives of people. And a lot of people have a hard time grasping that, but yet they really don't. Is Mark Trump in here with us today? I'm not taking attendance. I get thinking about this artificial intelligence stuff. Artificial intelligence. I don't think Mark's with us today. Okay, Mark, I'm not scolding you. Think about this artificial intelligence. I got thinking about GPS. Now I can pick up this phone right here. Hi, Kaiser. Get out of here. My son's dog's here with us today. It's, by the way, it's nothing here in Ohio today. Nothing. Temperature's nothing. How can that? What does that mean? What's the temperature there? Nothing. Zero. What? Yeah, it ain't nothing. Oh, I wasn't talking to you, Siri. See, I lost my train of thought. I'll get back to it. This artificial intelligence. Oh, GPS. Global positioning system. Hey, Siri, how far is it to New Orleans, Louisiana?
New Orleans is about 813 miles away as the crow flies.
Now, how does that happen? How can I speak into that phone and that information come to me just like that? And so you think about the GPS, the global positioning system, and how directly you are connected to the you speak into Siri on your phone and she answers you right now. Now, where is she? Who is Siri? Where is she? That I can say, where does George Lewis live? Is that amazing? So if the global positioning system can react that quickly, doesn't that to you make God all the more real? The idea that every one of us could instantaneously at the same time be connected to God, that God could instantaneously hear all of our prayers at the same time. Boy, is this proof of it. Right there it is. You think I'm the only one talking to Siri this morning? Hey, Google. Got one of those. My kids got me one of those things that scares the whatever out of you. I don't even know what it's called. They plugged it in the back of my room. I said, "Hey Google, what's the temperature down in Florida?" And it tells me, "Hey Google, it's a God positioning system." God is involved and aware. If there's a global positioning system, somebody created that thing. Getting heavy, getting thick. So knowing that, why am I here? Really and truly, why am I here? Is my entire purpose in life, am I just did Jesus rescue me and save me from my sins just so I could be healthy, wealthy, and wise? Is that really it? Is there a deeper meaning to it? What if you're watching this right now and you are a potential Martin Luther? You. What if you are the guy, global position, you touching the world right there on your phone. You already show you can do that. You have the ability right where you sit right now to be able to impact the world. How do I know? Because you're connected to that artificial intelligence system that's out there. And when you sit down at night or you sit down in the morning, is your vision for your life just a little box about you and your job and your family and is that it? Is that why Christ died? See, I think it's something bigger. And I don't have the answer for it. I'm asking myself all the time, Lord, what is this about? You think Judge Roy Moore scratched his head today and said, Lord, was that what, though? Why'd you bring me this far to desert? Now, the judge has deep faith, so he doesn't think he was deserted, but you got to be asking yourself if he's asking that question. I said, Lord, you took me through all that stuff in my life with the ACLU and all that stuff. You just have me sit here now and do this? Got to be more to it. Got to be more. And so our problem is, a couple of different problems. Number one, we have a very small understanding of the power of God. The Bible says that at his name, kingdoms tremble. At the sound of his name. Now you say, well, that's a fairy tale. That's all made up. No, it is. I was watching a video yesterday. It was only about 3 minutes. Some guy who was I know who he was. He was one of those motorcycle jumpers that jumps up and does those flips. And he was giving a testimony that he was about as atheistic as a guy could be. And he did one of these crazy flips. And we got up in the air. The wind grabbed a hold of it. And when he came down, he landed. Didn't land good. And the bike broke. Went in through and destroyed his kidney, He was grievously injured, laying on in front of all these people. He was grievously injured, laying there. And believe this or not, because it was out, so I don't know. It took 41 minutes for the emergency squad to get 41 minutes. You think, how could a guy be putting on that kind of performance? And that's a different story. But he said, laying there, fighting consciousness to go in and out, kept going to go in and out. He said he knew something about him. He knew that if he didn't fight to stay awake, that he would never wake up. He knew that. What do you suppose he began to do? Yeah, he began to call out to God. An atheist. Not just an atheist, a worker of iniquity at his dying moment cried out. So you ask yourself, where you are and what you're doing with your life, what's going on around you, is very little happening through us because we don't have an understanding of God and his power. Or number two, we have a very limited opinion of what role we play in that. This whole idea that, well, God's in control. God's in control. Yeah, yeah. But it's been my experience that God, thank you, Lord, that God blesses action. God blesses action. And action is a direct result of belief. You want to know what somebody believes? You watch what they do. So we look at the paralyzed church in America, call it whatever you want to, that's Satanic Social Club, whatever Larry wants to do it. You look at the absolute explosion and eruption of evil in this nation and see how uninvolved and ineffective the church is. It's almost staggering. And can I tell you why? I've seen it on Facebook here this morning. You go ahead, go on it, get on your Facebook page right now, and you look at what people of faith are arguing about. You just look at it. The stupid things they're arguing about. Well, the world, Western civilization is totally and completely being under attack. Jared's pulling my Facebook page up here. I'll get myself in trouble. What are people arguing about? They're arguing about them. Are you ready for this one? Oh, Lord, help me. Did it rain before the flood? Had it ever rained before? They're arguing over whether it had ever rained before the flood. They're arguing about the LGBTQFMPLLS and whether or not we should love them and accept them. You can go on your Facebook page, and you're not going to find anybody on your Facebook page with a global vision of what the Lord's going to do through me. The global vision. Who the hell is LeBron James? Who is he? When he was 15, 16 years old, did LeBron James think he was going to have the impact that he has right now? No. No, you say, well, the Lord gave him a great gift. Yeah, and he probably has given you a great gift, too. Are you developing it and exercising it? And I'm talking to me. I'm preaching to me now. Why is all this crap going on under the watchful eye of Christians other than we don't understand the power of Christ and we don't understand the power of Christ in and through us? We don't understand that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God forever. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching them to observe all I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's from the uttermost to the guttermost. What is with us? Can I tell you what it is? Lies. We love lies. I'm talking about in our churches. We love lies. And the battle that we see going on in America today is the same battle that's been going on since the eons of time. I don't even know if those two words go together. Truth. Did God really say? Did God really say it's an abomination for a man to lay with a man? Did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? And the answer that we have today is, I don't know. I don't know. Is that really, Esther, is that really what he meant? You think you're Esther? I don't know. Huh? Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll call Pastor. I'll call Pastor and ask him. So. And so the debate for truth, the battle for truth, we're not even sure of truth in the church. Why? Because the enemy, more than anything, knows the battle is over truth. Are we in Isaiah 59? Did I say that? Anybody want to bark before I read it? I got someplace I'm going today. I think it's going to be good. Hope I get. If I'll shut up here, I'll get to it. Anybody got anything you want to bark about before I say anything?
Yeah, Coach. You know, you talked about God really pays attention to action and stuff. Well, if you turn to Hebrews 11, and you look at it for what it says instead of what the name and claimant preachers have been preaching. But it says, now faith is the substance and evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, substance and evidence can be touched. You can reach out and see them. You can touch them. You can feel them. They're there. They're real. So faith is not this willy-nilly thing out in the ether. Faith is the action you put to your belief.
That's right, brother. Your faith, your actions reveal your belief. Now, Jared's got Hebrews 11 up there. Man, if we get going on this thing, I'll never get away from it. Because listen, faith, again, is merely an outward expression of what you really believe. Faith is the substance, is the proof of what you really believe. And we say in America that we believe abortion is murder, but there ain't no substance to it. There isn't any substance. Why? Because a lie has crept in. That lie's told us that the woman's right to choose, and the government's made it legal. And so, see, it's not that we buy big lies. We buy little lies. And so that's why in America, a person can say they're a Christian, believe abortion should be legal. What's a lie? There are lies in there. And see... The church doesn't fight the lies. The church powders over, smooths over the lies. The church makes the lies palpable and acceptable. Because if they make the lies palpable and acceptable, people will come. Because they don't feel so bad. They're not convicted when they come. Because they can to be in their sin and come in there and they feel okay in the church. Because why? God is love. Who are you to judge? You with me all? Am I making sense? And I look at what's going on. And I look
Amen,
at my
Coach.
Life. It's 2018. I've been under assault for 18 years. And what has been my reaction? Am I punching back? Am I me? I'm talking about me. Am I punching back yet? Am I really punching back yet? Or am I rope-a-doping? Laying on the rope and letting them hammer away and hoping I don't get knocked out. Just enduring to the end. Oh, boom, boom, boom. Muhammad Ali, rope-a-dope. The church is rope-a-doping. I'm rope-a-doping. We're rope-a-doping. I think. Because although I say God's in control and God has all the power, I don't act like he does. I don't act that way. No, we don't act that way. Guys, why in the name of God, how can abortions still be legal? Yes, sir.
I think what's happened last year in 2018 worldwide, I believe we were in a boot camp. A lot of us, God has stirred up in our hearts, connected like we are here, and what's happening here is happening all over the world. And he's raising us up because the evil has raised its ugly head. And I believe in 2018, he's going to release his power upon us and put a burning in our hearts that we are going to get out there and we're not going to be playing that rope-a-dope game. We're going to get in the face of the enemy and we're going to be in the power of God with his anointing to do great things. I feel the consciousness coming up.
Can I self-flagellate here a minute? Can I hit myself in the mouth here a minute? Is it okay if I do it? I can go back over the last 2 years of my life and I see God intervened through us, got Ken Hovind out of jail. I saw, brother, huh? I saw God intervene just through a bunch of podunkers like me. I saw God through podunkers like me and a cell phone and people like you. I saw him bring Target to their knees, $20 billion. I saw it because I showed up with a phone and I took a picture. I saw it happen. I saw God in Kentucky because I went down and handed out flyers, showed up and fought the good fight. I saw God release Kim Davis out of the jail. Now, we didn't follow through on that one. We didn't win. Not really. And then I sit around here and I think, well, hell, pardon my French, those of you who ain't got anything to argue with other than you Facebookers, just want to argue about language. See, you're worrying about the little stuff because you won't do the big stuff. And I understand the little stuff makes the big stuff, but then you got your head up someplace that ain't doing you any good. You're just stuck and buried in daggone, stinking, powerless religion and don't get it. Don't get it. Heaping heavy burdens on men. So, what, you know why abortion is still legal? Can we cut to the chase? Because I don't have the faith to end it. What do you mean you don't have the faith to end it? Well, if I believed it was illegal, if I believed it was murder, if you really believed it was murder, I'm talking to you right now. If you really believe it was, if you're pro-life, how many more are you going to let them murder? So, well, I'm waiting on Franklin Graham to get involved. Maybe Franklin Graham will get involved. Maybe we can get the right judges. No. Because I'm going to tell you, whoever is going to end abortion, whoever is going to enable the Lord to end abortion, I'll tell you right now, is going to be some obscure person doing something that somebody thought was nuts, and it's going to change the entire picture. That's what I believe. Now, why don't we have the faith to do that? Why are we continuing? Why are we continuing to allow men to marry men? Can somebody please help me out with this? Those of us who believe, we have faith. And so truth becomes nothing more than just an opinion. I believe it. You don't believe it. We'll agree to disagree. No. That ain't the way that it works. Not the way it's supposed to work. So I don't know if you feel this in me. I got a resolution bubbling up inside of me. I don't even know what that resolution is. I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to reach 2019. And not have done something big for the cause of Christ in 2008. Anybody with me out there?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be easy. And they're not going to give us ticker tape parades and flowers and there ain't going to be any of that. It's going to be hard slogging. It's going to be a lot of oppression. It's going to be a lot of, pardon, I'm going to say it. It's going to be a lot of ass kicking. See, some of you right now, you want to tune off because of that. So I just said. Because why?
If you want to turn off, then you're not a warrior. Stay in here.
See, Joe, here's the point I'm trying to make. We are, because we are so religious, we have personalized Christianity to the point that it is all about you and your behavior and what you say and what you eat and what you drink and what you do, rather than the bigger picture. But people say, well, how can the Lord use Donald Trump? I don't know, but he sure is. He sure is. Well, I don't know why he didn't use John Hagee. I don't know why he didn't use Billy Graham or Franklin Graham. I don't. Donald Trump? Yeah, I don't know. And while Donald Trump is in there turning over the tables, those on the Lord's side are still pointing out how he's not righteous enough to be able to do that. We shouldn't be supporting him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Joe. So as the fur flies as I move into 2018, I'm going to do something greater. That's what I think. I'm going to do something great. I don't know what it is. I'm going to do it. Are you in Isaiah 59? It's on my heart this morning. I was going to read the whole thing.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Yeah, George.
Well, one thing we know from Scripture that Jesus is staying in the heavenlies until we do something great, until we get our act together.
Amen. Amen. Sarge, you got up there. Wake up in your Truman Show. I guess I don't watch enough TV. I'd click on that, and I'd lose my screen. Preach it, Coach. Yeah. Kevin disagrees with him. I'm sure it's not a real deep disagreement, though, Kevin. Probably disagree with something like that. Are we in Isaiah 59? Now that... I'm sorry to do this to you. I know it's Old Testament. I know it is. I know we're under a new covenant now. I know that. But I also know that the entire first century church, New Testament church as they would call it, the New Testament church didn't have a New Testament. They didn't have a book. They took the Old Testament and they lived it out. And after that whole thing was over, then they wrote stories about what they did because they simply believed in the power of God to go ye into all the world, teach them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the age. And ask yourself this, what are we today teaching our children? No. What are they teaching our children? And can somebody tell me why you're not ticked off about that? Why we continue to allow that to go? Can you imagine God sitting up there for a such thing? Isn't he tapping his foot? Thinking, what are they doing? What are they doing? Although he probably doesn't have feet. He probably ain't tapping it. Okay, Joe, I'm going to trust you. Let's roll here. I'm going to shut up.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You just said something that was absolutely mind-blowing.
That happens sometimes. I don't even know how to say it.
The New Testament church, we all know in our brains that they had no Bible to go on because it hadn't been written yet. What did they have? They had the Holy Spirit leading and guiding in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have the Bible, but what have we done with the Bible? Now, I'm you know, like you say, preaching to myself and the quote to churches, we have taken the Bible and made it the guidance instead of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We've taken what others did and used that as our basic bottommost guideline instead of taking what the Bible reveals their bottommost guideline was. And that's, I think that's where we started going off track, is when we started using just the Bible and not taking into account the underlying guidance of the Bible and people.
Oh, yeah. Larry, what's the purpose of the Bible? Maybe that'd be a good question to ask. But what's the purpose of the Bible? I'm a Bible believer. God who said it, I believe it. That settles it. Okay, settles it for what? To do what? To argue about whether or not it rained before the flood? See, the only reason you argue over stuff like that is because you you got too much time on your hand to fight the real fight. You know, I have a confession to make. I don't care if it rained before the flood. I don't care. I don't care if it rained after the flood. I don't care if it rains tomorrow. And none of it got anything to do with the faith and the belief that's in my heart to go do. Go do likewise. Go. But we argue over the trivial. No trivial. I'm going to tell you this, make you mad. I don't care. How many of you out there, how many of you religious folks, oh, Lord, do I have to say it? Do I have to say it, Larry? How many of you religious folks out there, if you hadn't had a meal in a week, would eat a pork chop? Lord, help us. Joe, jump in here. Let's go to Isaiah 59. I want to try. I've got about 2 hours. Just so you watch this show, that you wonder. I'm in a vein right now. Really, this show ought to be 3 hours. Because if the show was 3 hours, I could finish a thought. Part of the problem I have in the hour time limit, and it's self-imposed. I got more than an hour. I want to keep it an hour. The part of the problem that happens is this free flow of the Spirit on me. Maybe be different tomorrow. Might be a different issue tomorrow. And so I get bogged down because if you watch this and say, man, he's all over the place. He never finishes. I just try to flow with what I'm hearing from the Spirit on that day, okay? Cut me some slack. Let's go, Joe.
Amen. Okay. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear.
Good. That's good news.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Hey, Joe, who's he talking to here? Who's he talking to here?
Us.
Us. Talking to us. He ain't talking to Washington, D.C. Go ahead.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
Will not hear. Not that he can't. Siri, GPS, is tuned off. It's turned off. Go ahead.
For your hands have defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness.
Lies and perverseness. Who's he talking to again? You don't have to answer. Go ahead.
None calleth for justice.
No, nobody cares about the baby.
Pleadeth for truth.
Nobody fights for truth.
They trust in vanity and speak lies.
Yeah.
They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity.
They sure do. They sure do, Joe. Keep going, man.
They hatch cockatrice eggs. And
I don't even know what a cockatrice is, but it don't sound good.
And he that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper.
I think these are spiders that bring death. The cockatrice eggs, they're the lies of the deception. And those who eat it die.
Their webs shall not become garments. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity.
Amen.
And the act of violence is in their hands.
It sure is.
Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood.
Tell it like it is, Joe.
Our thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not.
Even though they try to make peace, love everybody, can't we all just get along, tolerate, be tolerant? The way of peace, they don't know. Why? Because there is no peace between truth and a lie. There is no peace between light and darkness. Can two walk together lest they agree? So we have all these human things that we try to do to conjure up peace. And he says, you're a fool. You don't know the way to peace. Go ahead, Joe. Just preaching along with you.
Aye. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings.
Wow.
They have made them crooked paths. Yep. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace.
Right.
Therefore, judgment is far from us, Woo! Neither doth justice overtake us. Yeah. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness.
The world's waiting for the light of truth.
We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate places as dead men.
Sometime amen. Somebody say amen. You don't have to turn your microphone on. Just say amen.
We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us.
It is.
For our transgressions have multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, and our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them.
Hey, Joe, we know the truth, don't we? We know. Who do we think we're fooling? Our GPS has been turned off.
In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood.
There it is again.
And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street,
isn't
and
that
equity
something?
Cannot enter.
Guys, listen, there's no truth in the public square. Truth is not permitted in government. It's not permitted in schools. It's not permitted in science. It's not even permitted in the church anymore. It's fallen in the street. The thing that was supposed to make the street paved and smooth is fallen. It can't get up.
Yeah, Coach, can I say something?
Yes.
You know, and this is for this is for me too. But even those of us that have the truth, we do tend to water it down. As you're talking about this, I'm looking at myself and I'm evaluating what I do, and I have two different testimonies that I share, because I know one will get me invites and likes, and I know the other one makes me look like a disgusting nothing and to this world anyway. But you know what, it's time that we all stop worrying about our space up on the internet and our social and our likes and our followers, and just start pushing the straight truth, because this is when it's needed. There's an urgency right now, and this is when it's needed the most.
What's your life about, David? What's your life and your testimony about? Just have a story to tell? Just have a Facebook page? Just have a bunch of likes? Hoping Jesus likes you on Facebook? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Hope Jesus is your Facebook friend.
Yea, truth faileth.
That is such a profound statement. Think about that.
And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it.
Lord,
and it displeased him.
Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. Let's go back there a minute. There's your children. Hey, boys and girls, there's your kids in public schools. Why? Yea, truth falleth, and he that departeth. You teach your kids to depart from evil, and they're going to make him a prey. Do you teach your kid to start speaking the truth? They're coming after your kid. You start speaking the truth, they're coming after you. You start speaking the truth, they're going to shut you down on YouTube. They're going to shut you down on Facebook. You start speaking the truth, and you are setting yourself up for a fall, baby. So therefore, tone it down, water it down. Your Facebook views will go down. Your YouTube videos won't be as popular. Tone it down. Have a message that's popular that people will like. You watch some of the crap that you go on the YouTube and you look at some of the people got 75,000 followers, and I watch that stuff. It's that there ain't nothing there. There ain't nothing there. Why would anybody follow that? Well, right there it is. Finish with this one, Joe, and then I'm going to switch gears real quick.
I'll repeat the verse.
Do 15 and 16, Joe.
Okay. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment.
It didn't displease him that there wasn't any love. or acceptance or tolerance. What ticked the big boy off? Well, no judgment. Nobody's saying that's wrong and that's right. Ain't no judgment going on. Why can't we all just get along the gospel according to Rodney King? Keep going, because I'm two more verses, Joe.
And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him.
The Lord looks around and says, where are my folks? There was no man, no intercessor. What? Where are my people? Go ahead.
For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak.
Keep going, man. This is too good.
According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay.
What? According to what?
Their deeds.
Their love? Their love for one another? According to their love and their tolerance and their acceptance and their compromise. Go ahead, Jill.
According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries.
Joe, he must have adversaries.
Recompense to his enemies.
He must have enemies.
To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west.
Wow.
And his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord.
Now here is the deal he makes with all of his believers. Are you ready? He just painted a picture with it. He just painted a picture.
That's
nobody will
stand
up. Nobody will speak the truth. Nobody will do anything. He makes a deal.
As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever.
It's a generational commitment and blessing that falls upon the remnant of God. Generational. Most Christians aren't thinking generationally. If they're thinking generationally at all, they're thinking financial. I hope my son has a better life than I had. Wow. Man, that's showing some faith there. What does that even mean? Okay. Listen, I only got 15 minutes left. I only got 15 minutes. Got to do it. Good reading, Joe. Good reading. Hey, Jared, click on. I get yelling so loud, my computer shuts down over here. Click on. Come on. Spinning. Stop spinning. There we go. Sorry, Jared. Click on armor. Hey, fellas, listen. 2018 is going to be a year of war like we've never seen. In the spirit, which will manifest in the natural. And there's going to be a Christianity, that's going to arise, will have to arise, like nothing those of us who currently are living have ever seen. Christianity is going to reach a point where it's going to conquer or die. In America. I'm not talking about the world. It's going to conquer or die. And we're going to begin to see the beginnings and the fruits of that in 2018. So I tell you that to tell you this. You better get ready. Because this ain't for sissy. What's coming ain't for sissy. You hear me? And there are going to be casualties. And the enemy's going to punch you in the mouth. And the enemy's going to kick your props out from under you. I'm speaking to you prophetically in the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's coming. And we're going to see the wheat and the chaff be separated. Not eternally.
Yeah,
but you're going to see it right before your very eyes. Those who run from the things of the Lord and those who run to the things. You're going to see it.
Amen.
You're watching.
Amen.
So because of that, then, I felt it impaired. The Holy Spirit impressed upon me today that I better bone you guys up a little bit on the armor of God. Pull that up there, Jared. Do you have it up there yet? It just says armor. Did I not send it to you again? Okay. Okay. It's slow because it's some pictures. Hey, listen, for right now, if I were to offer you $1,000, right now, $1,000. Yeah, just stay right there on the first one, second, Jared. For $1,000, could you tell me the full armor of God? Could you right now tell me? I'm talking to you. Without going to your Bible, could you tell me what the full armor of God is? And I would say 90%+ of Christians couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you. But you're going to go to war. I was watching the football games yesterday. I sat on my butt quite a bit yesterday, to be honest with you. Watched some football games. You know, every one of those guys knew how to put their pads on. Every one of those guys out on the field, they all knew about a helmet. And they had shoulder pads on and hip pads and knee pads. And they all knew. They had arm pads. They all had on armor. All of them did. Can you imagine a guy walking into, going to go out and play against Alabama? He's going to go out and play against Alabama. And he walks in his locker room. There's a bunch of equipment hanging in there. And he says, hey, coach, what do I do with this? I've heard about football uniform, football. I never wore any, coach. So I got to go over and put his pads on for you. And we're talking about guys who are getting prepared to engage in a war, and they don't even know their equipment. The full armor of God. So I want to go down through this. Ephesians. See, I always know this. I'm going to step back a little bit farther so you can see me. Not that I'm important. But I learned the full armor of God like this, and I believe it to be essential. Shame on me. We used to put the full armor of God on our children every day. My kids know the full armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the breast, just like putting on my football pads. I just close my eyes and I would just see myself putting on my football pads. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I girded my loins with truth. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I carried the shield of faith wherewith I might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And above all, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And having done all to stand, I stand. Some of us are going to be getting taken out if we're not ready. So the armor is, take the helmet of salvation. Here's what it does. Protects your head from injury. Wash your mind with the water of the word. Right? Oh, I could go on and on about the mind, the battleground of the mind. And the only thing that's going to protect your mind is the helmet of salvation. Salvation is what saves us from death. So therefore, if you have on the helmet of salvation, you will never die. Let that sink in. You may change location. You ain't never going to die. It says that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. That's Revelation 7, verse 12. It says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The realization that if you have on the helmet of God, you'll never perish. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of souls. So when you put on the helmet of salvation and you wash your mind with the water of the word, I beseech you therefore, brethren, of the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when the renewing of your mind takes place, you put your helmet on. And isn't it amazing? Oh, Lord, thank you. Wow. Holy Spirit just told me American Christians have concussions. Woo!
Mm.
Say that again, Coach.
I'm telling you, I went deep. American Christians have concussions. Spiritual concussions because they haven't put the helmet of salvation on them. And every little wind and doctrine comes along, bops them on the head, and then they have no protection. They have no protection. They haven't guarded their mind. Next one, Jared, the breastplate. Helmet of salvation, then the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is something God gives us. We are not righteous on our own. Righteousness guards against direct attacks on our heart. When Jesus has control of our heart, oh my goodness, it's protected from the attack. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Your righteousness is the shield of your heart. Romans 6:18 says, you have been set free from sin and you have become slaves to righteousness. So you got the helmet of salvation, which protects your mind and your eternal life. You have the breastplate of righteousness, which is something that has been endued and given to you, right standing with God, and with it, the protection and the defense of what captures your heart. Because whatever captures your heart captures you. Dang, it's just thick. Football player helmet, shoulder pads with a breastplate on it. A little football player wears. And then the next one, and it's most important. No, that's not true. It's the most essential. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled firmly around your waist. Oh, man. Guys, when the Roman soldiers put on their armor, they put the belt on first because everything else was connected to the belt. If they didn't have a belt, none of this stuff, it would wobble. It didn't work. So you had to have the belt of truth to connect everything to. The armor came down and it connected, the breastplate connected into the belt. So truth guides our decision making. Is that true in America? Truth is found only in God's word. Huh? There ain't no compromise. You can't compromise truth. Truth is meant to be shared with others. That's the purpose of truth. That's why you're the salt of the earth and light of the world. Truth is essential to prepare for every day. If you are not standing on truth, on the rock, you're on sinking sand. Truth frees us from the devil's lies. And many of you are loading up your grandchildren right now and sending them back into the devil's den where he's going to continue to bombard them with lies.
Coach, I'm
running out of time. Yeah.
You know, the helmet of salvation to keep us from getting concussions. You know, a whole lot of people have a lie pounded into their head starting in first kindergarten Sunday school, all the way through their church walk, all the way through their appearance at the judgment seat where Christ will say, depart from me, I never knew you, even though they proclaim him as Lord, Lord. Okay?
Amen. Yeah.
Now here's the problem. The verse, the one verse, and believe me, I was raised in Baptist churches. I know this verse is the center of their salvation message. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But that's not the way that verse reads. That's the way it's preached, so to speak. That's where the emphasis is put. But here's what that verse reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you have not made Jesus your Lord, and that Greek word Lord means the one in total control, if you haven't turned control over to your life, of your life, over to Jesus, if you haven't done that, he is not your Savior.
Mm. Larry, what verse was that?
Romans 10:9.
10:9, thank you.
Mm. And isn't it amazing that everybody loves God? You ever notice how nervous people get when you start to mention Jesus? You ever notice that? Mm? You just test it out. You test it out for me. I got to hurry here. Truth allows us to fight without being hindered. And truth sanctifies and purifies because the word is truth. Jesus is truth. In the beginning was the word, and it was God, and the word was with God. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is power. Truth is power. Next one. Got 5 minutes. I'm going to wrap it up here real good. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Their feet fitted with the readiness that comes from it. Ready to fight for what we know is true. You assume the ready stance with your feet. You're ready for his kingdom to be advanced. If you have your boots on, you ain't marching in rough area. You're ready to flee from something or someplace that we shouldn't be. The readiness implies that we wait on the Lord. We wait actively and not passively. I get up in the morning and I put on my boots because I'm ready to go somewhere. I'm ready to do anything to serve the God we love, and I'm ready to share the truth with anyone God puts in our path. What walks down paths? Boots. Feet shod. Two more. Go, Larry. Or go, Jared. Shield of faith. But the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith isn't static. It becomes more beautiful and strong as time goes on. Faith saves us. Faith heals us. Faith in God shields us. The fire can be used to refine with faith. Faith doesn't just protect us from the arrows, the slings of arrows. It puts them out. A small amount of faith can move mountains. Faith is both an offensive and a defensive weapon. Faith yields good deeds or else it is dead. Faith is being sure we have what we hope or and are certain of what we do not see. The shield of faith wherewith we might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And above all, what's next, Jared? And above all, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. The word of God helps overcome the evil one. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. Jesus himself used the sword of God to resist Satan's attack. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. The word of God is an offensive weapon. Boy.
There it is, man.
I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have that armor on, you're going down, dude. You are going to go down. Did you see now? Now the money that's coming out, that all that stuff against Judge Roy Moore was financed. All those lies were financed. All of them. Yep. Unbelievable, huh? And how many of y'all believed it? Because you didn't have on the helmet of salvation. You didn't even have the ability to discern the truth. Didn't even have the ability to be able to do that. Get yourself a concussion. The devil's knocked you off of the rock and you hit your head. So it's the helmet of salvation, right? The helmet of salvation. Washing your mind with the water of the word. What flows into the head flows throughout the body. A living sacrifice. Wash it. Eat it. Feed it. Interestingly, got out of time here. There's no covering on the back. Every bit of the armor is offensive. You turn and run. Easy prey. But you're going to figure out if you're in for the long haul or whether you're not, because the goats and the sheep, they're going to be getting separated here, boys, in 2018. It's going to be like nothing we have ever seen in our entire life. And the opportunity for us to stand and speak is going to be beyond what you've ever seen in your life. Time for us to bone up, because I'm going to tell you something. The devil is coming to church. Coming to church. Coming after the truth. Something to chew on 2018. God bless you, man. I'll see you tomorrow.